To everyone here, and of course, watching on live stream, I would like to take this opportunity to say what an honor and what a privilege it is always for me to be able to stand behind this pulpit. And it's always important that I say that because I never, ever want to forget that. So thank you for allowing me to bring tonight's teaching message. Tonight, we will be examining the question, how to defeat the walls of Jericho in our own lives. And of course, before we go that direction, let's go ahead and let's bow our heads and let us pray. Lord, we do thank you truly for this time. We thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity to be able to bring this message. I pray, dear Lord, that you just have your hand upon us now as we look into your word. I pray, dear Lord, that you bless it. And Lord, that you look after us. And Father, we just want to say that we love you. And we thank you, dear Lord, truly for all that you have done. Lord, all that you're going to do. For it's in your precious name, Jesus, do we pray, ask, and commit all these things. Amen. To establish the setting of this message, this is about the time after the death of Moses that God went ahead instructed Joshua to lead the people into the new land. Joshua went ahead and he sent forth two spies, two men from the camp to go forth and to kind of check out Jericho. Eventually, they went ahead and they returned with a good report. Joshua 2:24 says, "And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." Well, we see also here in Numbers chapter 13 that Moses went ahead and sent out 12 spies, one from each tribe. But it was only Caleb and it was only Joshua that went ahead and came back and brought a good report of the land. So out of 12, only two came back with a good report. The other 10 spies brought back an evil report, stating that we are not able to go against these people, for they are stronger than we are. In Numbers 14:1, it says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." As a result of their lack of belief in God's word and his promises, the Lord was angered and he cursed them that day that they would have to wander through the wilderness for a total of 40 years until the unbelieving generation had passed away, never having an opportunity to be able to cross into the promised land. But we see here in Joshua 2:24 that the two spies that Joshua went ahead and sent forth, they've come back with a good report. And to Joshua's ears, that was an outstanding report. Because they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord had delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint before us, because of us." What a report. It was a whole lot different than the report that Moses went ahead and received. But not long after receiving this good report, it was time to move on. It was time to cross the Jordan, which was now a significant part event in their life. To go from wandering through the wilderness to be able to now go to the promised land. The land that had been promised to them. A land that is flowing with milk and honey. We see in Scripture how the entire nation crossed over on dry land. That as soon as the priests waded into the water with the ark, that the water stopped flowing. I can't help but wonder, as they were walking through that dry riverbed, you think they probably scooped down quickly and picked up some fish to have for dinner that night? Brother Don says, yeah. I got one right over here to my left that says yes. But who knows? But that could have, but it is an interesting thought. But nevertheless, I need to press on. Well, they set up camp that night at Gilgal, which was about 2 miles from Jericho. The conquest of the promised land was about to begin. And now we see here in Scripture in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went on to him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. It's interesting because we have seen a familiar passage also like this in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Just like we saw here in Joshua chapter 5, verse 14. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto him, Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Yes, Joshua knew that the warrior who stood before him with a raised sword in his hand was the Lord God. He knew that it was the Lord that brought him out of the land of Egypt, that allowed them to be able to escape from the bondage of Pharaoh. It was the Lord God that went ahead and guided them, protected them, sustained them during their 40-year journey through the wilderness. It was the Lord that allowed them to be able to cross the Red Sea faithfully. It was the Lord that had done all this. And we see how Joshua had recognized the Lord and fell on his face and did worship. And it was here that the Lord told Joshua exactly what to do. He shared with him the battle strategy of how the battle is going to take place. Perhaps to Joshua at this time, to the priests, to the army, this may have seemed like a different approach, a different strategy to defeating the city of Jericho. However, Joshua led the Israelites to do exactly what God had instructed them to do. Exactly. The walled city of Jericho was one of the first strongholds that they had to defeat in order to be able to move forward. So you have this picture. They just come across the Jordan. Now to the Jordan during this particular time of the year, and of course its season, the banks were overflowed. But it didn't matter because the water stopped for them to be able to cross. And so they saw this miracle. And when they went ahead and they came across, now they're witnessing and seeing this massive wall before them. Can you imagine what it was like when the Israelites saw the walls of Jericho before them? But we had to get past this wall before we go forward. It was an obstacle that they had to overcome. But can you imagine what it was like when the Israelites saw the walls of Jericho before them? One article by Bryant Wood, dated 1 March 1999, entitled "The Walls of Jericho," that archaeology confirms that they really did come a tumbling down. It was mentioned within this article that the walls were at least 46 feet high and 6 feet wide. Another article that I came across said that the walls were wide enough that on the top that they could ride a chariot across. But what we do know from a Christian standpoint is that it did not matter if the walls were 100 feet wide or 100 feet tall, because when the Lord is on your side, it just don't matter. It don't matter at all how massive the wall might be. Now, as we now turn to Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, we're going to go ahead and start off with verse 1. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None came out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, encompass the city, and let him that is armed be pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your mouth, with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city going around it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Now shifting over into verse 20, and so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. We see how the Lord instructed them to walk around the walls of Jericho once every day. And then on the seventh day, walk around it seven times and have the priests blow the trumpet. Now it's interesting, as we read God's word, these instructions that were laid out, they carried them to the T. As you go through one verse after another and you read it, you absorb it, you realize this is exactly what they did there walking around. They carried God's instructions out completely. All the people shall shout, and the walls of Jericho will fall before you. Other than the trumpet blasts, it was completely silent. Not a word was spoken. Can you envision now the view of what it looked like from the top of the wall as the wicked people from Jericho went ahead and looked down on the Israelites as they were experiencing this event each day for 6 days? And then on the seventh day, something different is going on here. As they walked around the city a second time, a third time, a fourth time, all the way up to seven times did they walk around the mighty walls. And it's interesting to be able to go ahead and cover that, because this is exactly what they did. We can read about it within 30 minutes here up in the front. But you think about it. They did this for up to 7 days when they carried this out, because they wanted to be obedient to God's instructions. I imagine that all the space on the walls were taken up due to the curiosity of what's going on. I wonder if they went ahead and sold tickets to the wall. You know, this is a great show. We're not sure we're going to see you have another one like this again. But then something different took place, because on the seventh time around, the priests blew their trumpets and the people shouted. And after 6 days, can you imagine, of being silent, not saying a word, not being able to whisper, that can't say anything, they can now shout. I just imagine thousands of armed warriors all shouting together, and the priests blowing their trumpets at the same time. Wow. And then the walls came tumbling down. So the question that is posed to all of us this evening that is sitting here, and those that are with us out on live stream: what walls do we have within our own lives that we need to defeat, that we must tear down in order that we can move effectively forward and live a victorious Christian life? What walls do we have? The world is full of walls. Do we have walls of anger that's bottled up in us? Do we have walls of depression? We see everything that's going on today with what's going on in the news and all the sickness, things like that. Do we have walls of depression, walls of fear? Do we carry walls of guilt, walls of insecurity, walls of pride, the walls of self-pity, the walls of unbelief, the walls of unforgiveness, the walls of stress, the walls of uncertainty? Maybe some of your walls that you might be dealing with is maybe starting a business. That's a massive wall before me. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that, but I want to start a business. Maybe that might be a wall that you're having to deal with. Maybe your wall might be rebuilding a relationship, or maybe meeting a financial goal, or recovering from illness, or reaching a goal or an objective, or going back to school and completing that degree so that you can get that certificate to maybe get another job. Decisions of retirement, or maybe decisions of being able to strive for a closer walk with God. We all have walls within us that has to be defeated. And if we don't defeat them, they're like cancer. They'll take us out. But we have to take them if we want to move forward and be victorious. So what are the lessons, applications that we can glean from what had transpired with the Israelites defeating the wall of Jericho? I only kept it to 4 points. I had 10 originally, but I said, I'll take it down to 4. Number one, even when the walls seem to be impossible to overcome, we need to still follow the Lord and be obedient. Perhaps to Joshua, the priest in the army, the instructions given may have seemed a little different, unusual approach to defeating the city of Jericho. However, as mentioned, they carried out the instructions exactly to what was given to them. They had hope and full trust in his promise and in his faithfulness that he would indeed fight for them when we faithfully carry out the Lord's plan in obedience. And once those walls before us come tumbling down, we will know that it was worth every step that we had to take to get there. Psalms 28:7 says that the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will praise him. Psalms 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Number two. The walls that we are dealing with may not fall down overnight. They might not fall down overnight. It might take a while. We see here that they had to circle the city of Jericho 7 times. And there is a certain way that they had to do this. Well, they could have went ahead and maybe perhaps stormed these walls. But that was not the plan given to them. The answer that we see here is to keep waiting on the Lord. Here it says in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Sometimes we have to just wait. Marching around the city was not to show the strength of Israel. No. It was to show Israel's faithfulness. Number three, we need the Lord in our lives. We see that the Ark of the Covenant was carried with them as they circled the walls of Jericho. The Ark was a symbol of faith and of God's presence. The Israelites could have walked around the walls of Jericho 100 times. They could have went ahead and blown 100 horns. And they could have went ahead and shouted until they had no more voice. Because without the Lord, those walls would still be there. We need the Lord in all our areas of our life, within our families, within our marriages, within our relationships, within our friendships. How is your quiet time with the Lord? How is your prayer time with the Lord? We must daily find time to pray because our Heavenly Father is wanting and waiting to talk to us. We need to make that type of time. We need to have the Lord in our lives. Not just when we come on Wednesdays, on Sundays, and we sit in the pews, but all the time. Matthew 6:8, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Number 4. Believe God will keep his promise. If we truly love the Lord with all our heart, with all our might, with all our strength, our desire should be able to then carry out his will, obey his commandments, and believe his word. And Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We all will face those walls before us. Some of those walls right now at the moment might be heading your way right now. Some of those walls right now at this moment might be confronting you right now. But I say, according to Scripture, you stay strong, keep pressing through, and you keep the faith. Through obedience and faith in the Lord, the Israelites were able to claim victory and move forward. At every stage, we see God's fingerprints faithfully leading them and guiding his people on their journey. He never abandoned them, and he will never abandon us. If anything at all, it will be us that will turn our backs on him. But he never does that to us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Psalms 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Let's keep trusting him and obeying his instructions, no matter how unusual they may be. It is imperative to understand that we cannot take down those walls ourselves. It is only through the Lord can we take down those walls. Through obedience and faith in the Lord, the Israelites were able to claim that victory and move forward. If we are to be that Christian that we want to be for the Lord, we will need to tear down those walls, which is hindering us. If we are to be that lighthouse unto others within this world that is becoming darker and darker and darker, if we want to be that Christian to be able to allow that light to shine, we need to tear down those walls. If you want to be that godly father, a godly mother, the godly son, daughter, aunt, uncle, relative, or whatever, you will need to tear down that wall. May 2022 be that year that we tear down walls so that we can all live victoriously for the Lord. Recap. Only with the walls removed can we move effectively forward for the Lord. Remember to pray, believe, be obedient, and have faith. Does it feel like you've been walking long enough through the wilderness? Maybe perhaps it's time we face our walls. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for all that you've done for us. We thank you, dear Lord, for all of the blessings that you have provided. What health we have and what strength we have, the food in our refrigerator, the clothes on our backs, the shoes on our feet. Lord, all of these things that you have given to us. Lord, you are always so good to us. We pray, Lord, that you will be able to help us to tear down the walls within our lives, that we may be the Christian warrior that we need to be for our family. May we continually strive to be obedient, have faith, believe, and pray for your will to be established within our lives. Father, once again, we want to just say how much we love you. We thank you, dear Lord, just for all that you have done. Lord, you're always continually there for us. Lord, you're better to us than we ever deserve. Thank you, dear Lord, once again for this opportunity to be able to share your word. In your precious name, Father, do we pray to ask and commit all these things. Amen.